Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills is looking for your trade. They're paying out higher than average values, especially on SUVs from Mercedes-Benz. Visit them today.
Dylan Dubé is entering the final year of his entry-level contract this coming season. That's going to be our focus on today's Daily Flames Roundtable. It's what we've been talking about throughout the week. My name is Pat Steinberg. His name is Will Nault, and he is Logan Gordon. That completes our Daily Flames Roundtable this Friday afternoon. Guys, let's take a little bit of a deeper look and start to project a little bit for the former second-round pick of the Flames. Logo, for you, any question in your mind? Has Dylan Dubé established himself as a bona fide, no questions asked, full-time NHLer?
Yeah, he certainly has. I don't think that anybody does up their mock lineups for the Flames heading into whenever training camp is without including Dylan Dubé on one of the starting lines. I think you pencil him in every night to be in your lineup. He had a great return to play and showed that he can be an effective member of an effective line. For me, that's proven everything I need to see from Dylan. That I think he's going to be in the lineup night in, night out for the Flames, and I expect that this will be his first full, if you will, with quotation marks around it, NHL season with the Flames. I don't have any doubt that he's proved himself to me to be a full-time NHLer, Will.
Yeah, I think as last season went along, if you would ask me this question a year ago, the answer would have been no. But I think as the season went along, he started to establish himself a little bit more, understood his role, and I think the partnership and friendship off the ice he formed with Milan Lucic has really helped him, kind of understand what it takes in terms of, okay, you might have been this player in junior, but it's not going to work that way in the NHL, at least not to begin with. And it took a little bit of time for Dylan Dubé to understand that. I think Milan Lucic was a huge help to that. So I think last year was a huge, huge step for him to get to where he is now. And for me, and I think for a lot of people, yeah, get that status as a bona fide everyday NHL player. But as I say, Pat, I think that changed as the year went along. If you would have asked me a year ago, the answer would have been firmly no.
Yeah, and for me, gents, like I'm right there with you. Like there's not a whole lot of question in my mind, and it'll kind of bring us into the next topic to advance the conversation. I don't have a whole lot to or anything much different. I'm with you guys. I think he is a full-time NHLer. There's no question for me. I have him penned in to next year's lineup or next season's lineup, and I think there's still a lot of growth there for Dylan Dubé. But what really jumped off the page to me, Will, is what we saw from him in the postseason. Because I don't know if I would have been as firm on this when the last regular season game we saw, which would have been in March. I still would have said yes. I think he's a full-time NHLer, but I wouldn't have been anywhere near as emphatic that this is the league this guy belongs in. He is here to stay, and I think he's going to be a really good NHLer. But what really, really pushes me to that conclusion is what I saw from him in the postseason. He was one of Calgary's two or three best forwards all playoff long in those 10 games they played. He was dangerous offensively. He skated well. He was on a line that really played well together. I thought Dylan Dubé took a significant step forward. Part of that for me was that he looked like he didn't look like a rookie. He didn't look like I hate using the term boy because it's not 100% accurate, but he looked more just like a man. He looked like an NHLer with his frame, with how he carried himself, with the way he played physically, the way he wasn't shying away from things. Everything that Dylan Dubé was in those 10 playoff games just screamed, this guy's here to stay. How much did the playoffs push you to one side or the other, Mr. Nault?
It certainly pushed me a little bit towards being a bona fide everyday NHL player. The biggest concern I've ever had with Dubé is it comes in spurts. And I think we saw that in the playoffs too. I think you'd be lying to yourself if that wasn't the case in terms of what you saw in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I thought the first, five or six games of his postseason, really good, really effective. A lot of the things you just talked about, I thought were bang on. The last four games, and as the playoffs went along, and I know there were some injuries in their lineup, and the series did swing against Dallas, but I thought he struggled as the playoffs went on. But again, I think that's part of being a young player. I think that's part of trying to find your way in the NHL. Does that mean it's a huge red flag for me and I'm now concerned about his future? No, but I'm not going to sit here and say he was brilliant all playoff long. He was good, like really good in the front half of it, and then tailed off, much like the whole team did as the playoffs went along. So it's been my biggest criticism of him, even in the 45 games he played in the regular season. There is consistency issues with Dylan Dubé. One or two games, you'll be like, wow, this is a kid that is going to be an absolute stud in this league. And then there's games where he looks completely lost and, quite frankly, looks like he doesn't belong. I saw less of that in the playoffs, so that's why I'm more confident in him going forward. But, Logan, I'd be lying if I said he blew me away all playoff long.
No, he didn't blow me away in the return to play, but it's hard to do that in a third-line role. And I think, especially when we look at the Flames and we talk about their most effective line being, at times, the Bennett, Lucic, Dubé line, that says something about the team as a whole, too. It's a wider conversation about that, and we've had that conversation plenty of times. But as far as effectiveness for whatever number you want to line with them, their third line or whatever, I thought they did really well. I thought that they all proved that they were able to be an effective line together, and Dubé was every bit a part of that. There's going to be growing pains, like Will said, but that doesn't make me worry. I think every young player, for the most part, goes through those. So I don't have any major concern about that. And if anything, it just showed me, yeah, is he going to score 4 or 5 points every night? No, but I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting that of him anyways. He showed me that he can be a night-in, night-out NHLer in the return to play, and that's more than you could say for some other people that didn't impress.
I thought he was a better player in the playoffs at the most important time than he was in the regular season, and I really thought things were trending in the right direction in the regular season as well. It's our Daily Flames Roundtable. He's Logan Gordon. He's Will Nault. My name is Pat Steinberg. So what is, like, where do you see him on this team in a little bit of a longer-term picture, Logo? Are we talking about him as a top six forward on this team? Do you see him staying on the wing? I'm just curious as to where you see him, how you pencil him in your bigger picture Flames lineup.
I think for the time being, and at least in the near future, I think top nine is probably the safest way to project him. I think he does have top six potential. I just don't know, as of right now, the way the Flames are constructed, where that goes. I think top nine is a safe projection because I think given an injury or if the coaching staff wants to change something up on the wing, he's certainly a candidate and someone that would be probably top of my list to do that. But right now, if you're talking about some sort of lineup, with the wingers being something of Lindholm, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Mangiapane, I'm not sure he breaks that ceiling just yet. But if things change or a role opens up or he forces a role open, somewhat like Mangiapane did to Michael Frolik last season, I could absolutely see that. So I think for the time being, top nine is a way that I see him going for this team. But I see some top six potential there. There's just not a ton of opportunity heading into, say, this training camp, Will, for him to break into that, at least not that I see.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I think top nine, kind of the next 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know what the future holds for Dylan Dubé or for any of the Calgary Flames. I think it's an impossible task to predict what the lineup looks like even more than a year in advance. But I think in the immediacy and to begin next season, I think he's a top nine guy that could flip-flop between the second and third line depending on exactly what it looks like and kind of what we've talked a lot about it, Pat. What does the center formation look like? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Lindholm, then Monahan, then Backlund? I think that definitely, would have an impact on where Dylan is in the lineup. We've talked about it before. If they separate Lindholm from Johnny and Sean Monahan, well, then there's a very good potential that Dylan Dubé could find himself on the right side of that second line with Monahan and Gaudreau. If they don't separate that, then I see him continuing his role on that third line with Lucic and Bennett. So I think, he's kind of going to be that middle six guy, at least for the next little while. And I think he's going to have to show a little more offensive punch for me to be a top six forward. But I certainly don't think that's out of the, the potential or what he could have in his back pocket, if that makes sense.
I think that there is absolutely the ceiling of this guy being an everyday top six winger, and it might not be for the reasons that you guys just mentioned. It might not be right away, but down the road, I absolutely believe that with how things change on an NHL roster year to year, so on and so forth, I believe this guy has the skill, has the ability to be able to do that down the road. What's interesting, though, is in the smaller picture, because big picture, I believe he's got the tools if the progression continues. But what's really interesting is what you brought up there, Will, and whether or not they shift Lindholm from the wing. If Lindholm's a center next year, then there's an interesting opening there on that line with Monahan and Gaudreau potentially. And knowing the offensive upside that exists with Dubé, knowing some of the offensive forays we saw from him even in the postseason, I won't lie, I'd be very interested in seeing Dubé play on that line, which would, I guess, put him in a de facto top six role when you think about it. So, yes, long term, I think he does have top six potential, and that's a way that I could see him playing in a similar role in the small picture, but it would have to be with a guy like Lindholm moving to center, because if not, as Logo pointed out, there's kind of a log jam on the wing right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I kind of said the same thing. I think if Lindholm moves to center, great potential for Dubé to have a second line role alongside Gaudreau and Monahan. If not, I just don't know who he's going to unseat from that top six.
Okay, final question, and the one where we might have some differing views, but I really don't know on this one. But as it stands right now, entering the final year of an entry-level contract, what are you thinking, what are you feeling, Logan, in terms of how the next contract might look for Dubé?
This will probably surprise you because of just how I've gone on the different conversations we've had, whether it was Mangiapane or with Valimaki. But for Dylan Dubé, this is where I think we can agree that there might be some value to a 3 or 4 year contract for the young man. He's right in between the two of them. When I was getting ready for this segment, and it fits in nicely because he doesn't quite have the experience in the NHL that Mangiapane has. He's got about 52 less games in the regular season than Mange does, but he's also got more than Valimaki does. I think this is a nice sweet spot for the Flames where they might be able to get one of those value contracts we've talked about by paying a little bit slightly more, but adding some years onto it where, you know, you're talking the last 2 years or 3 years of the deal, you're really getting good value for the player here. Just because even coming off of last season, he still did play 13 games in Stockton. You're talking about him potentially playing his first full NHL season this year. I've seen enough from Dubé that I think that projection is going to continue. He's going to be an everyday NHL in my lineup, and I wouldn't be adverse to committing a couple of years from him. And I think the price would probably be amicable for both. It would be a considerable raise from league minimum the entry level contract that Dubé's on now, and it would give the Flames some security with him going forward. So this is a guy that I think is right in the perfect spot for, hasn't proven too much as to where it's going to be expensive, and I'm not exactly sure what a fair deal is, but I this is one for me. Well, I'd be okay giving Dubé some term and giving him a nice raise and getting some security for both sides here.
You guys all know where I stand on this. You could probably just tape me and hit play every time you ask me about an extension for a guy coming off an entry level deal or something like that.
Are you ever on board with them?
Not for a guy who's played 70 games.
I'm not being a dink about it either. I'm not like, is it just kind of your philosophy that?
Well, I was on board with
superstar.
No, I was on board with Tkachuk, but he wasn't going to do it because you weren't going to get to that level,
right?
But yeah, I just think for players like this, and for Dylan Dubé especially. Well, yes, he is a bona fide NHLer in our eyes. You can't tell me you honestly know what the next 3 years look like for him. If you do, all the power to you. I don't, so I'm not going to do the extension. But if you guys feel the same that way, then fine. I'm not going to change your mind on it. The matter of the fact is he's played 70 games. He scored 7 goals. And I'm not going to pay him a lot of money over a lot of term because I don't exactly know what he is. Yes, he's probably a middle six guy for the lifetime of that contract if you were to sign it to a 3 or 4 years. But I don't know how you have any certainty of what he is going forward. And if you're the player, why would I lock into something unless you severely overpay, which you're not going to do because I have no rights anyways on arbitration? Why would I lock myself in when I've also got the potential in my own eyes to potentially play in the top six or play with better players and have better results to go into an arbitration room? You know, for pre-arbitration guys, I think the argument is a lot different than guys with arbitration rights. I don't know if there's a smart number that you're ever going to get to on Dylan Dubé where you say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And on the counterpoint of that, what's he going to do in the next 2 years that you're all of a sudden worried that you're going to have to pay him way more money? I just can't see it.
Logo, I'm curious from your standpoint, why cool with Dubé doing it and not Mangiapane?
So the reasoning here is Mangiapane with 122 games and recently what he's done, putting himself on a second line in the NHL with Tkachuk, with Michael Backlund, I think he has a better case to make.
So you think there's more of a chance for like a team, really team friendly deal with Dubé?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair
like,
enough.
And, like, no, just because fair. Based on like the, and Will, you're absolutely right. He hasn't proven a lot, but he's got 70 NHL games. So I've got a firm sample, more than I have with a Valimaki, but he doesn't have that case to make, I think, that Mange does. Like, I think Mange can make a really strong case for all those points you make about, you know, betting on himself and putting him on himself. He's playing on an NHL second line right now. There's value to that, and I wouldn't, you know, take dollars off my plate here, whereas I think for Dubé, the team, he's still got two, I believe he needs two more years to reach arbitration rights. I think two more pro years before he can get an arbitration case. So I think there's a better chance based on that. And I think 70 games for me is enough to project there. I think you have a better chance at a value
kind
deal
of a sweetheart deal, right?
Yeah. Because I really believe Mange has a strong case to make, that would cost you some money that you're not 100% sure on yet. Whereas for Dubé, that dollar figure might come in really nice for you for a 3-4 year deal.
It's interesting because I firmly believe that Dubé's got a ton of potential. I really do. I feel, and I if they were to go down a longer term road, I'd have no problem with it. But this one feels like to me, for whatever reason, just, and I think it's because there's less NHL games under his belt and some of the consistency things you talked about. Well, I'm actually more on the maybe go the bridge deal with Dubé than I have been on a lot of other guys. Guys like Anderson, guys like Mangiapane, I feel more confident as to what they're going to be and what they've done so far in the NHL. I believe that Dubé's got a very high ceiling. I really do. But maybe I've got a little bit more confidence that a guy like Mangiapane gets there than maybe I would to his ceiling than maybe I do with Dubé. I'm not saying Dubé's not going to. I think the sky's the limit. I really, really, really like the player. But I would be more in favor of a shorter term 2 year deal off his entry level deal than I would be with other guys. And part of it is because there's just so little leverage for the guy, and you can probably get the same type of deal coming out of the next one. But, I would be more in favor of the shorter-term deal on a guy like Dubé than I would be with some of the other guys we've
talked about. I'm just asking because I forget. I honestly don't know the question. Were you prolonged deal with someone like Valimaki?
I was kind of like in a four-ish year type thing for Valimaki. Yeah. That was earlier in the week, so... Yeah, it's I love these conversations. Those are the three guys. We talked Bennett yesterday. We talked Valimaki on Tuesday. And today, talking Dubé. Those are the three kind of high-profile guys that are all entering the final years of contracts for next season. He's Logan. He's Will. I'm Pat. That's another edition of the Daily Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills is looking for your trade. They're paying out higher than average values, especially on SUVs from Mercedes-Benz. Visit them today.